Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 6. John chapter 1 and verse 6. The scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his son. In all the things that God made and all the things that God did, the heartbeat in his chest was you and me. God did all that he did in sending Jesus Christ to redeem sinners. And there's some mystery about the work. I've driven a car. I like to drive. I enjoy being out in the beauty, especially on a day like today, seeing everything that's going on. And, you know, I'll put my car in gear. I'll grab the steering wheel. I'll put my foot on the gas. And something amazing happens. The car begins to move. You say, well, why is that amazing? Okay. The reason is there's something unseen under the hood that provides the power for the car to go. Because just going like that doesn't move a car. If you want to try to put your car in neutral and try to move it going like that, it just doesn't happen. No, there is an unseen power underneath the hood of your car that enables it to go. The same thing is true of the gospel. Pastors and regular Christians that share Christ do so in obedience to the command of the Lord, but you and I are not the ones who win these people to Christ. God is the unseen power that makes it possible. And one of these days, if Jesus tarries, I'll be long dead and gone. The gospel will continue to go forward. There's a power that God has supplied that comes from him and brings people to himself. And we need his power. That's one reason we need to pray. Because he said, you have not because you ask not. John is writing, and he's been describing the person of Jesus Christ, but he kind of hits the pause button, so to speak, in verse 6, and he begins to talk instead for a few verses about the mission of Jesus. And then he resumes after the scripture we're going to look at today. He resumes and says some more about Jesus and his person. But the mission, in the center of all of this, the mission is what is important that John is getting across. It's not only that Jesus was great, or that Jesus was God, or that Jesus became a man. No, the mission is at the heart of what John is trying to communicate. And can I tell you, it's still at the heart of all that God is doing in the world today, to reach men and women with the gospel of Jesus Christ. John describes the author of the gospel of John, describes John the Baptist, two separate characters, okay, so don't get confused. The John we're talking about in the text is John the Baptist, and he is mentioned for a purpose, but also to contrast with Jesus, because there were things that John did, but only Jesus could do some things. He was the power, the unseen power. And so both things are necessary. Both you and I have a mission to fulfill, but also the power of God is necessary for that to be fulfilled in our lives. And so the title of my message is Jesus' Saving Work. Jesus' Saving Work. Look with me at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave the right to be children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Jesus' saving work. What work does Jesus do? Well, first of all, Jesus sends a messenger. He sends a messenger. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Sent from God. Did you know you and I are sent? Jesus' great commission. He says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So, Thomas goes to India. Peter stays in Jerusalem, and later on he goes out as well. Paul goes to the Gentiles and Asia Minor and so forth. But different individual Christians are sharing the gospel in different places. They are sent by God for the specific mission that God has for them to fulfill. It's not an accident that you're in the family that you're in. It's not an accident that you have the circle of friendships that you have, or the people that you come across in your workplace, or those you meet in your leisure activities. God has sent us. And sometimes you see that clearly. I remember there was a time in Texas I was out fishing, and there was this guy that I had noticed there before, and he would fish for the really big fish. I was just kind of trying to catch whatever would bite. He would fish for the really big fish, and he had these shad that he would use. And he would pull in these monster bass, these hybrid bass. He was out there one day. And I was out there, and we just happened to strike up a conversation. He was on the other side of the water, and we're just kind of talking back and forth. And somehow the conversation turned to spiritual things. And I don't even remember, it's been so long ago, how that happened. But we began to talk about spiritual things, and he was asking me questions. And it was a divine appointment. I believe with all my heart that God sent me to the lake to fish. Isn't that awesome? We had a discussion, and he left, and he said, you know what? He said, I have never understood why Jesus came until today. He'd been in church, a different church tradition than the one we're in, but he said, I had never understood it. It didn't make sense to me until today. I believe with all my heart that God sent me to talk to that man. Listen, I think God has these divine appointments that come across our lives sometimes where he puts us in somebody's path because he knows that there's a need and there's something that can be supplied, and especially in terms of the gospel. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, I witness through my life rather than through my words. Well, that sounds good, and I hope you do live a godly life. But there has to be a message. There has to be a message. Now, God may use you. If you've got gifts, like serving gifts that you use in the church, God may let you use those same gifts to impact a lost person. You might take them a meal, or you might do something, maybe keep their kids for them or something, or mow their grass or whatever. But God may use you in that person's life to open that person's heart to the gospel, and it's very important. But there must be a message. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so people have to hear the gospel. That's why we're commanded to make disciples. And the sending of this messenger is so critical and so important. Isn't it amazing that the Son of God had to have a messenger come first? You ever thought about that? Here's Jesus, the one who spoke all the galaxies into existence and holds them together by his power. Why does he need John the Baptist? Right? I mean, what's that about? God has chosen to use human messengers to accomplish his purpose. Part of the plan of God. And so, you and I, we may not know everything there is to know, and we may not say everything just as we need to say it. But the good thing is, as we try to share Christ and share what God's done in our lives, the ultimate power is greater than us. And God can take, I like what Adrian Rogers used to say, God can take a crooked arrow and shoot it straight. So he can take our weak efforts, he can take our mistakes, and all these things, and he can use them for his purpose. We've just got to be available. God has chosen to use human messengers. So God sends a messenger. So if you are saved today, thank and praise God for the messenger he sent to you. And then tell the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to be that messenger for someone else. I'm willing to speak for you. You don't have to be eloquent. I like what the blind man said. They brought him to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're talking to him and everything. And they don't really like what Jesus has done because they don't like Jesus. And his witness was very simple. He said, one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Pretty powerful, huh? This is what Jesus did in my life. And how amazing it is. Jesus does a work. Now, there's a message of the gospel that needs to be shared. But as we share what God has done in us, and then we share the truth of the gospel, God enters into that situation and works and moves. It's interesting that every gospel starts, in some measure, with John the Baptist. Because that message of repentance that he shared is a picture of the responsibility of every Christian to share the gospel. So, God sends a messenger. Jesus' saving work, he sends a messenger. Secondly, he reveals the truth. He reveals the truth. Look at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The true light. Who's that? Jesus. He's already mentioned that the Word was with God, the Word was God, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is the true light. Well, what's the significance of that? Well, in the tabernacle, they had this menorah that was used, and it was a picture of several things. It was a picture of Christ, as all the pieces of the tabernacle were, and the fact that he is the light of the world, but it was also a picture of the Word of God. It was a picture of the witness of Christians and so forth. But as John has already told us, Jesus is the light as no one else, because he's the living Word. He is God in the flesh, so as people look at Jesus, they see what God is like. As they hear what he says, they hear the truth that God supplies. And so Jesus reveals the truth of God like no one else of history. But his work of revealing the truth has not stopped. I remember I was going to church, and of course I was raised pretty much in church from the time I was about 3. My dad was saved, and we began to regularly attend church. So before I could even remember, I was in church. And I remember kind of going through the motions of things, and I had been baptized and everything. But I just did it because somebody encouraged me to do it, and I really didn't understand what I was doing. But I thought of myself as a Christian. And I remember when I was 10 years old, I was listening to a message. And the only way I can describe it was like a light pierced my heart. And I recognized through the Word of God that I was lost. I still remember the verse, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." That was the whole message on that verse. And the Holy Spirit of God shined His light into my heart, and He said, "You are lost. You need to repent." And that started a struggle. But you know, I never could have come to Christ unless God had shined His light in my heart. There'd have been no salvation for me, because I didn't even know I was lost. Somebody else had that problem. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He was persecuting Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to gather up some Christians to put in jail. And on the way, guess what shined from heaven? A light. A brilliant light shined from heaven and blinded him, physically blinded him. But the greater light was the light of God's truth that He shined into Saul of Tarsus that day as He revealed, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And his whole life was changed. He repented. He put his trust in Jesus. And Ananias came and prayed over him to receive his sight, and he did. And he became one of the greatest, if not the greatest, missionary of history. Established churches all over the Roman Empire. All of this came about because God, in His mercy, shined His light into the heart of Saul of Tarsus. Only Jesus can ultimately reveal His truth. How many of you have ever read a scripture, perhaps a dozen times, and then one day you're coming to that scripture and the Holy Spirit of God just hits you with it, and you're like, "Wow, I never saw that before." What is that? That's God's light shining, revealing His Word to your heart. It's a beautiful thing. And no one is saved apart from the revealing work of God supernaturally in his life. The Bible says the god of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the hearts of them that believe not, yes, lest they should believe and come to the knowledge of the truth. Satan does a blinding work. So there is a spiritual barrier in the lives of lost people that prevents them from seeing the truth until the supernatural work of God pierces through that wall and reveals the light to their hearts. It's a powerful thing. Jesus is the light. So, Jesus' saving work, He sends a messenger. He reveals the truth. Thirdly, He gives a choice. He gives a choice. It's interesting. If you look at verse 9, He says this true light that shines or gives light to everyone. That's an interesting word there. How's that? How is it that everyone has a light shined in their life? Sometimes you hear somebody say, "Well, what about the people who have never heard the gospel?" And, you know, these kinds of questions. Well, I believe we're to share as God leads us, but there is a revelation. The Bible says creation is a revelation. That as men look at all that God has made, and all the splendor of it, and the complexity of it, and the wonder of it, it is to point them to who God is. It's a revelation of God to their hearts and lives. And the Bible says in Romans 1 that men tend to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But God also gives us a conscience. He's created us with a conscience. Isn't it interesting that no matter where you go in the world, there are certain things that are always wrong? Even if you've got a cannibalistic tribe that kills people and eats them, they still believe it's wrong to kill each other. right? There's something inherent in the heart of men. There is a code that God has put there. And it is a revelation of His law. And no matter who you are, you have a choice of whether you will listen to your conscience or not. Right? And your conscience can become seared. It may become callous over time. But all of us have a conscience. So God reveals His truth of that, and it provides us with a choice. Will I respond? I heard a testimony of a man years ago who was living in a country where they had never heard the gospel. And he was looking up at the night sky one night, and he said, "God, I believe You're there. I want to live for You." And the story goes, he came across some people from the outside, and he ended up leaving his tribe, and he went to a school, the university, and came to Christ. You see, God took responsibility to get him from point A to point B as he surrendered his heart to follow Him. In the Muslim world today, many people are coming to faith in Christ through dreams. God gives them a dream. I've heard stories of Muslims who have seen a vision in their dreams of Jesus Christ saying, "You need to, I'm Jesus, and you need to repent, and you need to follow Me." And some have had that every night for a year. If you've got a dream every night for a year, God may be trying to tell you something. it's amazing. God gives them a choice of what they're to do. If you look in verses 10 through 12, he came to his own didn't receive him. But look at verse 12, "But to all who did receive him," see, there's the choice, "he gave them the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now, I've already mentioned you have to have the light of God shine into your heart. God enables our choice. I really believe that with all my heart. Because without Him, we could not be saved. One scripture talks about the unpardonable sin. And Jesus said, "You're attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil." And He said, "Because you've done this, you're guilty of an eternal sin." And it wasn't that the blood of Jesus Christ couldn't cover that sin. It was that the Holy Spirit of God would cease striving in that person's heart and would just back off and leave them to themselves. And it would ensure that they would never come to Christ. So there is a supernatural work that by which God helps us have the ability to make a choice. But the choice is ours to make. Sometimes I say, well, you can't have God be sovereign and have man have a choice. Why not? Why can God not sovereignly choose to let men choose? Right? He's God. So this is what He says. "Some did not receive Him, but to those who did receive Him, to them gave He the right to be called the children of God, even to those who believe on His name." So He gives us a choice. So now I'm going to tell you something. If you witness for Christ, there will be some people who won't receive it. I was talking to somebody before the service about a time we'd gone out, and a man really hadn't received us very well. Kind of sent us on our way pretty quickly. That's between him and God. And we pray for him. But ultimately, God gives people the freedom to make a choice. But some people do receive Him. And what an exciting time it is when somebody gives their heart to Christ. Don't give up on those who say no, because God can bring them on a process and they can eventually come to Christ. My neighbor in Texas was saved in his 80s. He had 11 children who were praying for him. It's amazing. So anyway, God gives a choice. And that is a choice. If you don't know Christ today, you have to make a choice. God will not twist your arm. He will not force you to do something you don't want to do. It is your choice. But it is the most wise and best choice you could ever make. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not only the light, He is the life. He's come that we might have life and have it abundantly. And He's the one who brings true joy. If you'll receive Him in faith today, choosing to turn from your sin in your own way to follow Christ, He'll save your soul. That's a promise this verse makes. If you'll receive Him in faith, He will give you the right or the authority to be called the children of God. Hallelujah. I've got authority to be called the children of God. Why? Because Jesus is in charge and He gave me the authority. Okay? He said, if you receive me, you are officially adopted into the family. And what an amazing thing that is. All the rights and privileges of being a child of God. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, one day we're going to get our inheritance. We're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to see walls of jasper, foundations covered with gemstones and all of that. And we're probably not going to carry, they'll be beautiful to look at, but we probably won't care about that too much compared to the fact that we're going to be in the presence of Him. It's our inheritance as His children. We've been adopted. Why? Because we made a choice to receive Christ. If you've not made that choice, you need to make that choice today. Now is the time of salvation. If you're already a child of God, don't just tell people the gospel. Invite them to receive it. Right? I hear some people say, well, you shouldn't try to get people to receive it. Well, why not? Jesus did. The apostles did. Invite them to make a choice. Elijah did that when he was on the Mount Carmel. He said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, serve him. He was calling them to a choice. Jesus called people to a choice. And many forsook Him because they didn't like what He was saying. But some did put their trust in Him. So, Jesus' saving work, He sends a messenger, He reveals the truth, He gives the choice, and finally, He changes the heart. Verse 13, and He's continuing on, those who received Him, He gave the right to be the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is the work of God. It is amazing the change that God can bring to a human heart. It is a new birth. It's interesting, John begins his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, just like the message of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But see, Jesus is about a new creation, and that's changing human hearts. Jesus is working a miracle. Every time a child of God is born, it is a miracle beyond explanation. So, He calls him to receive, but then he says, once you've received, you need to understand that God uses your faith that He enables, right? So that you can be born of God. Now, it's not your faith that brings the spiritual birth. That's all of God. He brings us to life spiritually. Dead people can't raise themselves, right? You never see a baby when they come out of the womb going, phew, boy, that was hard work, right? I mean, they just receive it. So this is a work of God. He says that their hearts are changed. They're born Not of natural descent. In other words, it wasn't your mama and daddy that caused you to be born again. Okay? Not of the will of flesh, not one person. Hey, you know, I remember Sherry and I, we'd been married about 5 years, and we decided it was time. We'd prayed about everything. Well, I think we're ready to have kids. And so we made it of human decision, right? The will of the flesh. But he says it's not of natural descent, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. This miracle of the new birth that changes hearts is fully God's work. God told Jeremiah about this. He predicted it. He said, you know, the Israelites, he said, I've sent them prophets, I've sent them priests and all these different individuals to try to help them turn to me, and they haven't turned to me. They've turned from me. Consistently. He said, but a day is coming when I'm going to write my law upon their hearts. And you won't have to say this one to the next, know the Lord, because each one of them will know me from the least to the greatest of them. He says, I'll make them new. God told Ezekiel, he's in captivity with the captives. Babylon. And God told Ezekiel, I am going to take out their hearts of stone and give them a heart of flesh that's responsive to me. You see, the amazing thing is about true salvation is that God changes us on the inside. He gives us a new set of desires. He gives us a new ability to relate to Him, to know Him. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us in following that new nature. We've still got the old nature to deal with, but the new nature we can follow in the power of the Holy Spirit. But all of it is from Him. And so I cannot stand up here and be proud because I've put my trust in Jesus Christ. Because I wouldn't have without Him. I wouldn't have the ability to trust Him. I wouldn't have had the desire to come to Him without Him. And once I did trust Him, He did a marvelous miracle in my heart that I can't take credit for. Anything good in me is because of His amazing grace. That's why when I get to heaven, God's good. He gives us rewards and crowns and for things done here, and that's all a wonderful thing. But that's why when I get to heaven, and when you get to heaven, we're not going to have a mutual crown admiration society. Okay, I'm not going to be showing off my crowns to you, and you're not going to be showing off your crowns to me, because we're all going to recognize that we don't deserve them. Because anything good in us is because of the amazing grace of an awesome God who has sent His Son to live the perfect life that we couldn't live, to die the death we deserved at the cross so that we could be forgiven. And every reward that He has enabled us to earn, there'll be but one thing to do with it, and I'm stoked about doing it. We're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus. We're going to say, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and wisdom and praise. That's what it's all about. So every day that you live, thank God for His amazing grace. Every day you live, thank God that He revealed His truth to your heart. Drew you to Himself, enabled you to trust, changed your heart supernaturally by His power, and then faithfully share under the leadership of the Holy Spirit the message of the gospel. so other people can have that same experience. That's the awesome thing. Ultimately, we're secondary. John the Baptist was secondary. Even though he was very important in the plan of God, he was secondary to the work of God. That's why in high school, I didn't know a whole lot of theology, but I did know the Romans Road. I'd memorized it in Bible school. And I felt led to witness to this man. He had lost his job in another state, and he'd come, and he was working at the restaurant where I was working. I was a busboy. I remember we were on break, and I just felt prompted to ask him about his salvation, if he knew Christ, and he said he didn't. I said, would you like me to share with you? And he said, I would. I shared with him, and right there in the break room, we bowed our heads, and he gave his heart to Christ. I didn't know what I was doing. I was in high school. But you see, I was just the messenger. The power came from somewhere else. And God grabbed a hold of his heart. And the next week, I didn't even know to ask him to church. I didn't ask him to church. I didn't tell him he needed to get baptized. I didn't know what I was doing. The next week, he comes into work and he says, hey, Roger. He said, me and my family went to church this past Sunday. And he said, we're scheduled to be baptized. Isn't God amazing? I tell you what, if you'll just be available to be used, you'll be shocked and amazed at what God will do through you. And some may receive it, some may not, but whatever the case may be, you'll get rewards for it to cast at Jesus' feet. They'll put crowns. If they treat you bad, they'll put crowns in. They'll put crowns upon your head, jewels in your crown, whatever you want to call it. Because Jesus said, rejoice when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Or you could put it in modern day language, rejoice when they cancel you. Right? Because you're saying the truth that they don't want to hear. For great is your reward in heaven. So Jesus says, do the happy dance. If you're getting mistreated for sharing the gospel, get all excited. Because your reward is going to be so great when you get to heaven. We're just the messengers. We're like John the Baptist. We just share the message. But there's a power under the hood. And it doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. And He is the one who changes hearts to the glory of His great name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing work of salvation. And thank you for your heart toward us, loving us enough to send your Son to live a perfect life that we couldn't live and to die the death we deserved. Thank you for his mighty resurrection and for the hope that we have that one day he is coming to receive us to himself. Lord, in the meantime, help us be faithful to share the message of the gospel as you would lead us. Help us thank you and praise you every day for the amazing work that you've done in our lives. All to the glory of who you are and your name. And Father, may you do your work in us. Revive us, encourage us, motivate us.